Welcome back, everybody. It's Nate with a private service announcement. How are you doing? I hope you are well wherever you are right now. Today's episode, I am going into a review of the first half of 2020. This year has been full, chock full of ups and downs. There's been incredible life-altering things happening all the way across our globe, impacting our society in so many ways. In case you forgot some of the things that have happened on this like decade-long last 6 months, we started the year with rumblings of a potential World War III because of things Donald Trump had been saying. We had the Australian bushfires. Remember that? That was this year. Yeah. Of course, we hit COVID-19. That came about in March, so a quarter of the way through the year, it just kind of hit hard. And then all the stuff with George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement, that has turned our world upside down. And so many things have gone in between and along the way. So I figured I would ask the question, I would ask you, the listeners, what would you ask me about 2020? If I were to share my thoughts and kind of look back on what I think of the last 6 months or so. I mean, I'm doing this towards the end of July, but I'm just thinking of the first half of the year in terms of the last 6 or 7 months. Up until this point, we've had a lot go on. So you asked me all of the following questions. I had so many people respond with really thoughtful questions, and I debated for a while, actually like probably a week or so, as I compiled the questions, if I wanted to go through them all, if I wanted to shorten anything. And the way that I decided to go about it was to use all the fully formulated questions that I was sent in. So I'm not sure how long this episode will be, but I mean, by the time you're listening to this, you will already know what kind of ride you're in for. For me, I'm just going to answer these questions to the best of my ability. And all these questions I haven't rehearsed ahead of time. Had a few thoughts about them, but this is off the dome. So once again, thank you to everybody who sent in some questions. We will get right into it with the questions that you asked me. So I'm going to start with Abraham's question. Had you ever imagined that the world could be turned upside down so radically, like all the ways we've had to change our normal way of life? You know, honestly, I think myself and anybody who back in, let's say, February, if you had asked anybody this question, could you foresee the world turning upside down so radically? Yeah, no, I never saw it coming. There are people who did know that that the pandemic was growing. There were people that did have an idea that the things that we do in our daily life could change at a moment's notice should the right circumstances arrive. But I think there is just a big sense of our heads are in the sand. Nobody wants to think about anything other than what we're used to. Comfort makes it hard to imagine change, but we've had some rapid change. It's honestly changed radically. It's hard to believe everything that's changed since January, but I guess we're all living through the events of it right now, and everybody's experience of it is a little different. So, I mean, the things that I find radically different than before may not be the same as Abraham, as you're asking this question, or maybe others. But great question. It's so crazy just to look back. That's actually kind of why I wanted to do this episode. All right, next question. This one was from Carly. Are you happy with how your workplace handled COVID and the pandemic? So my workplace, for those of you who may not know or have forgotten, I work through the Victoria Women's Transition House Society. I'm this nonprofit organization. I do counseling with families and children, and I work in tandem with lots of different professionals through the school system, as well as through child protection and all that kind of stuff. It's all wrapped into my work. How did my workplace handle COVID? I think they did as as best as they could. I think everybody did, but my work in particular, I'm actually remembering here, I just recently finished up my my second workplace contract that was through the school system as a youth and family counselor as well. I finished that contract and that job is complete and I won't be going back to it in September. So I'm not going to specifically speak to that, but just know that there's a lot of similarities because as a counselor with kids and families in both contexts, basically I had the same experience at both places. In essence, the response my workplace had was to completely shut down all of our operations with families coming into our building. That's smart. And we were sent home. We were deemed an essential service, both for my counseling at the school and counseling at the transition house. They were deemed essential, so we had to continue. But the problem is, well, my work is hard because I have to connect with people. And when you're in the middle of a pandemic, actually right at the beginning of it, when we didn't know how bad it would hit, and we knew Italy and Spain and so many other places in the world were being slammed by it. Nobody knew how to react. So, I mean, that knee-jerk reaction all across BC and Canada and the world was to shut everything down, go into self-quarantining for first couple weeks. That was, I mean, is the best decision anybody could have made with the information we had at that point. We knew that we needed to stop the spread, but it made it really difficult because you try having a phone call with a 6 or 7 year old from your house and they're who knows where at their house at a park, kids yelling in the background, maybe their parents are listening over their shoulder. Do you even think, does anybody, tell me in a private message or something, but does anybody have experiences where you're sitting on the phone for 15, 30, 60 minutes at a time with a kid that young? Like, I don't, it's my whole job. It was a big transition, it was a big shift for me. And so that was difficult. I was not happy with that change, but my work had nothing really to do with that. I think they made the best decision they could with the fact that, you know, safety had to be the primary decision maker. And you know, as the weeks and months rolled along, they were able to implement strategies and plans and things that made it possible for my work to become a little bit more manageable as I do counseling from home. We had a video platform service called Doxy.me that came into fruition. And you know, nowadays there's a nice balance right now where we're at in BC for COVID cases and stuff. I have a nice balance where I'm able to actually meet socially distant in the community with clients and do that in a safe way. So, you know, my work has done its part. I have not felt put into unsafe situations, and I know that that was really, really challenging to navigate at the beginning of the pandemic, but in terms of how they responded to COVID-19, safety is number one, and I think that they did what they needed to as an employer. Next question, Karina, you asked, if you wrote a letter to younger generations with the wisdom 2020 has taught you, what would you tell them? I would tell younger generations to listen more. I think that really captures my thoughts on what we've learned and what we've gone through in the last number of months. We need to listen more. I think when we are in the swing of things, when we're doing our life, when we're going about our daily routines and our work schedules and our pleasure activities and all sorts of things, we can be so insular and we can think so much about ourselves and our way of life that challenging those notions are very difficult. And we can't, I would argue, we can't do that without listening to other perspectives, listening to other people. We see that with the George Floyd Black Lives Matter movement. You see that people who have historically been silenced through discrimination and so much abuse and hatred, they're finally gaining a voice on a societal level. If we had been listening to the early rumblings of what COVID-19 is looking like far out east, we could have known ahead of time, and maybe if we had listened better, we could have prepared even better for when COVID initially hit here in North America. So listen more. I think that's the big one, because we can learn from history only if we study history, and it requires listening to the stories of those that have gone before. So I think that would be my answer for younger generations. Listen more. The next question was from Noah. What tool at your disposal most stoked your resilience? Good question. Pretty broad question, but I think that I'm going to hone in on the piece of with resilience and the skills that are involved, the tools at my disposal. Resilience through 2020 is required. For me, at least, it's been that shift, that change into the new normals that we're living in. So I think the greatest tool at my disposal for the resilience I've had to both develop and lean on, it really has been self-reflection. This is a concept that was hammered home in my 4 years of child and youth care degree, my UVic degree. Excuse me. Self-reflection was the biggest piece that I walked away from my degree with. And as a counselor, I recognize how important it is for me to understand who I am so that I can work in tandem with people who both are similar and different than myself. I needed to look into myself. I needed to understand who I was. I needed to self-reflect to be effective in my work. So in 2020, I mean, that tool was really important. That self-reflection tool was really, really important for me, because the beginning, probably the first month from mid-March to mid-April, the first month of at least the massive changes that came from COVID-19, I needed to stop and take a step back and look at the things that had shifted so rapidly for me. I needed to be able to look at the things that I had been leaning on. For me, a big thing that I use as a crutch, things that I feel supported by, and maybe to a fault, that would be my social interactions and my circles and my busyness and my schedule. Like, it's really, really challenging for me to, it's really challenging for me to go through a day or a week without knowing ahead of time what's coming and what I need to be doing and what I want to do as like activities or downtime or whatever. That was all thrown out the window with COVID, because all my plans, all my volunteering work, even my paid vocation where it would get me out of the house 12 hours a day or more between all the things I'm doing, all those things just completely stopped, and I had to stay at home. And I needed to self-reflect. I needed to be able to look back and not get overwhelmed by what was in front of me, which I did. I got overwhelmed. I think everybody did at times. We're all human here. And, you know, I think that was my biggest tool that I leaned on, because when I understand the feelings that I'm going through, which COVID-19 and this pandemic life, this experience of in our lives right now, it's been an emotional roller coaster. At least it has been for me. I think recognizing what those emotions have been and being able to redirect my focus and kind of reestablish new normal patterns of life, those were all able to happen once I had taken a good hard look at myself. And I think that's kind of where my resilience has lied. Next question. This one is from Ian. If you were to address the broader Western church's shortcomings in light of issues we've faced in 2020, how would you plea with the church to address them? Yeah, great question. I think just like everyone, everybody has their own triggers and pet peeves and sore spots. You know, different folks have a different way of critically analyzing the Western Church. I think you, Ian, or any other person, whether you're inside or outside of the Christian faith, may have critiques on the church that look different than my own. But I think one of the constructive criticism pieces I would have for the church in light of things that have gone on and the changes we've had to go through, I would say getting with the times faster. You know, honestly, it shouldn't have had to take a pandemic for some church groups and the church in general to become more relevant or to branch out in ways that might connect with today's generations, rather than just the way things have been going on for generations. I think specifically, I'm specifically thinking about the use of media in the church. There's lots of shortcomings we could come to, but you know, when everything grinded to a halt and all meetings more than 100, and then it was down to 50 and then down to 10. When all those big organized meetings were stopped short in their tracks, our church specifically, we only have like 100 people or so, and most of the population is on the older side. There's some middle-aged families and there's some younger families as well. Definitely not too many people my age in the young adults category, but you know, for the 100 or so people we had, there's a couple weeks where we didn't really have church and we didn't really have a plan. And there had to be a lot of learning. There had to be a lot of growing quickly to adapt to the new way of doing church. And so since COVID began, our church has been doing these recordings of our services. We'd have people adding their own pieces of pre-recorded content, and we'd create a video, and on Sundays we would live stream that on Facebook and stuff. And you know, I said we had 100 people in our church, but we were having, even within the first 2 or 3 weeks, we were having 300 plus people over a couple days span tuning into this Facebook video church service that we had going on. We were able to reach so many more people than was possible before. And I think through a medium that was actually more accessible. And of course, people are stuck at home, and everything over our computers and the internet was basically where life kind of all poured into for a time. So there's lots of factors around why there might be more people attending, but the fact of the matter is, we had never even considered doing anything digital or media-based. I know there are churches that had already, and there was lots of churches that made the transition pretty quickly. But in terms of being relevant in the year 2020, I think the church, it really shouldn't have taken a pandemic to recognize the tools at our disposal. Because if we as Christians are supposed to reach out and make an effect in our world, sure, person-to-person interactions are the most impactful and they're real, and that's important. But during a time like right now, and after, when we can resume normal interactions, using the tools at our disposal, the use of internet, use of media and all that, I would say that was the biggest thing that's kind of come from it. And my criticism, it shouldn't have taken so long. Great question, Ian. Next one we've got with Scott. Scott asked me, which major event, the pandemic or the George Floyd / Black Lives Matter movement, has had a bigger impact, and how do you see the Lord moving in each? Nice. Good question. Really good question, because in my opinion, one could argue either point. It could go either way. The way you ask that, good question. Which one had the bigger impact? Well, of course, they both had the bigger impact. That's not an answer. That's a lame answer. I guess I will focus on the impact that has been, I think, the closest to home for me. And that's kind of, for me, the way that the Lord has been illuminating disparity in privilege. This whole Black Lives Matter stuff, all the conversations that have gone on, I made an episode about it. There's been people from all over North America and the world, people of all different races, kind of gathering around what Black Lives Matter meant, and that's around true equity of race, true equality. I think that in this time and with these crazy world like changing moments that we're having on almost regular basis here in 2020, the BLM stuff really highlighted disparity of privilege. And I think that the Lord, I think God, I think Jesus wants his people, wants us all to recognize what it's like to really take a quick look at ourselves and to check ourselves for the privilege that we have, because, you know, our experiences in the world aren't the same as others' experiences in the world. Me as a Black man here in Victoria, my experience is not the same as the experience of Black people in Chicago or Detroit. My experience as a Black man in Victoria is not the same as the Indigenous people in Victoria. Different race, but still racism. The things that have gone on and the things that they continue to experience. I mean, just the conversations that have come up out of these tragic events like George Floyd's murder and those kinds of things. It's an incredible opportunity for us to once again self-reflect and look at the things that we take for granted and listen more to the people that we maybe don't listen to as much, don't give as much airtime to them, and shift our way of life accordingly, make a new normal. We're seeing that's happening all over the place. And I think that that might be a key thing that I notice that the Lord Jesus is moving in our world right now. He uses all things for the good of those who love him. And so I find it really comforting to think, well, although this stuff has gone on, although there's been some incredibly sad things portrayed across Facebook, Instagram, the internet in general, there is change happening and people are taking it seriously. And I'm on my own journey. I know my friends are on their journey and you're on your journey. But when I remember to be in prayer about it, to invite Jesus to teach me what he wants me to learn about myself and my life and my interactions and my friendships and relationships and all that, I think that God's highlighting that privilege piece right now. And honestly, I love it. I love it because this is the way that we, now I'm talking to my Christian friends here, but this is really the way that we as Christians can make an impact with people that are from a different creed and background. And, you know, when we recognize what we bring into a relationship, what privilege we have, whether we're able-bodied, whether we're white, whether we're Black, whether we're middle class, like good income, or all of these things play into the way that we connect with people in the world. And when we live out our privilege with no self-awareness, it actually just pushes against and pushes out people who otherwise would recognize the truth and the love and the value in the message of Christ. So yeah, there's my answer. We're talking about the privilege that's come up, and yeah, that's all very important. I think that that's one thing that I see the Lord moving in. Jenna asked, 2020 has been painted in such a negative light so far, but what are some of the positive things to come from this year? Totally. So just like what I was saying earlier, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for self-reflection and self-awareness that allows us to act in more just ways towards all people in our world. But you know, there's other things too that have been worthy of note. I think in the last few months, we've seen incredible examples of female government leadership. Here in BC, Dr. Bonnie Henry has done a phenomenal job of being the face of BC COVID in a way that has brought people together, has brought so much respect, has brought peace and calm in the midst of dire circumstances. And many people have commented on the humanity that she brings into her role. The typical feminine qualities that usually would be seen as weak or not great leadership things, those have been on display when Dr. Bonnie Henry talks about the worries she has or the fear she has. Or I feel like somebody'd say, I haven't watched all the interviews, obviously, because she's literally done interviews every day since March. But from what I understand, she's had some where she's teared up and she's got emotional on live television. And you know what? I think that that's so real. And honestly, that's the kind of leadership I want to be a part of. I want to be a leader like that. I want to be around leaders who are really authentic. She's done a fantastic job, and she's so, so smart. She's so, so intuitive. She knows what she's doing. She's done all this before. Incredible stuff by Dr. Bonnie Henry. Another awesome female government leadership example has been the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern. You know, the ongoing conversations about reallocating funds for mental health, emergency response stuff. I mean, there's so many things. That one particularly is around defund the police. And now that's its own conversation. But what I will say is, if we are truly reallocating funds that typically have gone to police but may be more suited to mental health workers in crisis response, in like 911 calls or whatever, I think that is so, so worth our time. Even in the last few months, we've had stories come out of in BC, in Vancouver, in Victoria, in our own cities and backyards, people who have had the police come and they have not been treated well and they've been physically hurt, and the response to a mental health crisis was not adequate. And no matter what way you want to paint that, what I observe is the good mental health clinicians who can do good work for people who need that help, they would be available with that more funding. And I think that that's so incredible. That's such an important thing for us to keep in mind and to remember. And yeah, so I think about a few of those really like positive things that have come from this year. But you know, most important for me, at least, I think the opportunity for character growth that has brought itself up in this year, I think that's my number one positive thing. And maybe, yeah, I don't know what you think about that, but for me, what comes to mind is the fact that we aren't meant to live comfortably always. Humans are meant to grow. You know, sometimes being resolute during a time of turbulence is the strongest action possible for us in that season. Like, if you are able to weather a storm and come out the other end with no huge losses, maybe you didn't like make massive steps forward in your business or your company. But if you, like, let's say those business owners who kind of stuck to their guns and were maybe going into deficit for some of the months of COVID, but now that there's been restrictions lifted, some of those companies did not go under and they're not closed permanently. That's just the first example that comes to mind as like a societal thing. But when I think about in terms of humans and myself individually, when we go through challenging situations, when we go through life-altering situations that are maybe incredibly difficult to see through, I think weathering that storm and being resolute, that is more important in character growth than any of the good times that we go through. The comfortable life that we live, where we have ourselves in a good place and there's stability and things are going well, you know, that's it, those are the times where it's easiest to not think of God. Those are the times where it's easiest to not check ourselves and be moving forward and be intentional about our own spiritual and personal growth. That's kind of why in hard times, often you see people kind of reach out and to the church or reach out and look for support and help. And maybe they're reaching into old religion or spiritual practices that they once had for comfort. And in bad times, people pray, you know, that's a pretty universal thing. And I think it's because when we know that we're in over our heads, we need help from something that's greater than ourselves. But, you know, the opportunity for character growth in the challenge, I think that's the most important thing to focus on, because 2020 has been a doozy. Obviously, there's been some great things that have come from this time. But at the end of the day, there's always going to be something that that rocks our boat, you know? There's always going to be something that gives us some cold sweats. Maybe we're afraid for a season of our lives. Maybe there's incredibly painful things happening that you can't escape. And, you know, every moment like that, it's an opportunity to press into God. It's an opportunity to get closer to Him and pray and understand His heart a little bit more. You know, that's what Job did. If you look back in the book of Job, he never got an answer for why the fact that his family was killed and he lost all his property and his everything. But in the end, he was content to see God. You can see kind of in the last chapter or so, content to see God in the storm, and basically the same storm that had taken his family in the beginning of the book. Character development, I think, is the most positive thing that can come from times of turbulence and trouble. And we know from the Bible, it says that count it joy to go through the same sufferings that Christ did. And so I think personally, out of all the great things that have come, I in faith would say that the growth in character that I am trying to actively go through, and basically anybody can, I think that is our greatest positive to kind of lean on in this through this time. So yeah, there's my answer, Jenna. Very good. Very good question. Amy asked, what has been something that you have considered a personal change for the better? Yeah, another positive spin on a question about 2020. Really important. I love thinking about the things that have gone well. And if I'm being honest, I think the uptake of more physical activity has been really, really important for me. It's been a big change. I've always been an active person, and I enjoy my hiking and I enjoy getting out and seeing the world and off-roading. But, you know, off-roading is literally me sitting in my truck driving to super cool places. That's not physical activity. The moment that I was not getting out of the house because of COVID, I was literally doing my 40-hour work week approximately from my bedroom. I'd wake up, I'd work, I'd be in the house. I might not even leave the house at all. It required me to rethink the way that I do my normal physical activity kind of stuff. So my response, my kind of answer to not doing as much physical activity in my regular days has been to get a mountain bike. And anybody who mountain bikes on the island knows the island is the Mecca. Well, okay, maybe Pemberton is, but I'm just gonna say it again. The island is the Mecca of biking places in the PNW. I am so excited. So many hiking mountains that I've gone and traveled a number of times, I didn't even realize, but there are mountain biking trails all over these mountains that I was so used to. I mean, Mount Work, Heartland in Victoria, that's like my backyard. I've been mountain biking there lots. My favorite hike on the South Island, Mount Manuel Quimper. It's out kind of towards Souk. That has incredible downhill stuff, has some sweet runs that there's great YouTube videos made about it. Up in Duncan, Zuhalem, I rode that a few weeks back with Curtis. That was unreal, so much fun. Maple Mountain has biking, Mount Prevost has biking. Then you go up into Cumberland. Oh man, I have plans to get up there and experience some of those trails. Anyway, I'm just nerding out about biking right now, and I'm just thinking, like, I hate running, and I have never liked running. Even when I played soccer, I don't think I was ever like fit enough to play soccer, honestly. I would be a sprinter, and then I would suck wind when my team was like running back to defend. It was no good. I hated running. So now the idea of me doing biking all the time, I'm gonna get my exercise in. I'm gonna grow some muscle mass in my legs, which I may not have needed, but anyway, it doesn't matter. And I'm gonna get that adrenaline, and it's gonna be fun, and it's really social. So for me, I can be on a bike socially distant from people and still kind of enjoy that. Yeah, that I would say that's been a change for the better during these COVID months. I'm doing physical activity stuff that offsets all the working from home, and it's a social outlet. It's a physical outlet. Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that I'm excited about, and it's been a good change. So for my last question, Curtis, you asked me, what's your biggest takeaway from the first half of 2020? Well, basically this entire episode was my takeaway. So I guess I'll leave you all with this thought. We can make our own plans, but it is the Lord who directs our steps. That's Proverbs 16:9. I've known that verse, and I've leaned on that verse for many years. During my years of university, like at UVic, doing my degree, this was really important to me. That was a season where I just felt like I was going nowhere. I was spinning my tires. Get that mountain bike metaphor in there. I just didn't feel like I was making moves. And it was very comforting for me to be able to look in the Word and see these phrases and these Psalms and Proverbs and these things that have been written literal thousands of years ago. We can make our own plans, but the Lord directs our steps. And during this year, I think everybody had a different idea, a different plan of what this year would look like, but we've all had to adapt. And I think one of the biggest takeaways has been the humility that's involved in just having faith and saying, God, okay, like if I have ideas for what I want to do in this time, but I surrender those to you. I think the biggest takeaway of 2020 so far has been that whatever is thrown my way, I know that He has a good plan for me. And I know that He has a good plan for all of you as well. So I'll finish up this episode by saying thank you for sending me all sorts of great questions that made me think, that made me answer in a way, kind of like an interview with no host, but you are all the ones giving the questions. You're the ones interviewing me. So I kind of liked this. I hope you did as well. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to look at this year through the lens of my experience. That's all I got. So have a great day wherever you are. And that concludes today's private service announcement.